I'd like to read in your hearing the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus says, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot go. I will give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I've loved you. You should also love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit, the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, it's my prayer that the people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Joshua. I got my first amen. Miss Robinson was a teacher during the time of segregation. And there was a young man, African-American young man, bused to a school where he was the only African-American student, and none of the other teachers wanted to teach him. And Miss Robinson was the music teacher and understood that this young man played the piano, so she decided that she would teach him. And the first few sessions, she became a listening ear to him, and he would talk about how it felt not to fit in. And she would listen to those conversations. But she wanted to teach him how important it was to have a listening ear in music. But his first lesson, she gave him a ruler, and she told him to measure the distance between the keys, the black keys and the white keys, to measure the distance between the keys. And he did so. And so she said, "Are the keys a mile apart from each other?" And he said, "No." And she continued, "Are they a foot apart from each other?" "No," he replied. "Are they inches apart?" "No." "Are they a classroom apart?" He said, "Certainly not. They're in close proximity, one to another." She said, "How close are they?" "As close as the fingers are to the hands, as the toes are to the feet, so are the keys connected to each other. Some are a whole step apart, some are a half step apart, but nevertheless, they're in proximity one to another." Miss Robinson, she chimed in and she said, "You're exactly right. So are the black keys and the white keys closely connected to one another, as they ought to be. And as people, so should we be." I think there's some wisdom in what Miss Robinson had to say. And I think that what Miss Robinson was trying to say is that no one is better than someone else. Amen? No one is better than someone else. Now, we may offer our best to God, but no one is better. Are you with me? In essence, she is saying everyone is significant on God's keyboard. You see, in a world where people in authority, power, prestige, wealth, or influence seem to be the ones that count and the ones that matter, Jesus brings in a whole new perspective. When we look at the prodigal son, he says, even the one who wanders away is important to me. Jesus says it again when we look at the story of the lost sheep, that the shepherd is willing to leave the flock and to go and to look for that lost one. And when the shepherd finds him, he calls his friends and his neighbors, and they celebrate together. In other words, everyone is significant on God's keyboard. Everyone matters to God. Amen? Thank God for being God. Thank God that God is like no other, because sometimes even those we consider friends will forsake you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you'll call upon them and they're not there for you, but God is not like that. God won't give up on us. God won't treat us like some folks will treat us. You know, some folks won't even return a phone call. Some folks won't return an email or a text message. Are you with me? But God is not like that. Thank God that God's love is not dependent upon our actions, because even when we wander away, he will chase us down and bring us home. Thank God for a God like this. And maybe this seems weird to us, that such an unconditional love may seem strange to us. But this is the kind of love that God offers. It's a love that won't let us go. You see, when I go out into the community, I have but one message. It might be wrapped in a different package, but it's one message. And that message is that God loves you and that he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And I tell you, that one message has changed so many lives, so many hearts. But in essence, what I'm trying to say to them is everyone is significant on God's keyboard. We look at this text today. It's really about love. Jesus knows that his hour is coming, that he's going to be glorified with the Father, and it seems that love is on his mind. Love is a word that is frequently used in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The word love is used over 500 times. And interesting enough for our purpose today, the word love is used in the Gospel of John chapter 1 through chapter 12, 12 times. But in the Gospel of John chapter 13, the chapter 21 is used 45 times. Seems as though the closer Jesus got to the cross, the more he wanted to talk about love. Love was on his mind. And it was on his heart. We continue to look at this text. It's a way of saying everyone is significant on God's keyboard. Love, in contrast, love is a popular word in our society. Our world is desperately seeking true love. There are all sorts of dating services, personal classified clubs, and social organizations, there are illicit websites and chat rooms, and you can pursue love without leaving your own home. But all of these opportunities promise true love, real love. But it reminds me of the classic country song by Johnny Lee, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. I'm going to stop there. But my point is this, our world craves love. But apart from the love of God, the love that the world seeks will always go unfulfilled. Amen? In the Gospel of John chapter 13, 31 through 38, Jesus suggests that the key to impacting our world for us as Christians lies in our ability to love one another. But if this is indeed true, then why we're having so little impact on the world? We're not giving the world what it so desperately needs, what it desperately craves. It's love. Yet the church ought to be Jesus' solution to the lack of love in this world. We ought to be able to say to people, come to church and look for love in the right place. Somebody ought to say amen. Joshua, can you say amen for Papa? All right, I got one. We ought to be able to come to church and discover, like the psalmist who suggests, that God's love is in pursuit of you. How many of you know that God's love won't let us go? That he promised to be with us always, even until the ends of the age. This is the message that we ought to give the world. We ought to be able to say to people, come to church and treasure the thought that God's love and God's grace is sufficient for your life. We ought to be able to tell people to come to church and look for love in the right place. Amen? He's here. He's here. He's in you, and he's in me. He's in this place. Amen? You see, loving our neighbor, that's an interesting enterprise. When I was 18 and I read that scripture that we are to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what if you don't love yourself? Then how can you love your neighbor? What kind of love would you really be offering your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Some of y'all looking at me like I got two heads on right now. But I asked myself this question. And I came to a place that maybe in meeting my neighbor's needs, that I would love my neighbor best. Because my needs might be different from my neighbor's needs. Are you with me? And I ought to not make this about me, right? This is about my neighbor. And so I thought that this was a healthier response. When we love one another, it's a way that we get to say that everyone is significant to God. Everyone is significant on God's keyboard. Listen, Jesus explains that he is going to be glorified. And he's basically saying to us that his work is finished. And the disciples said, well, what are you talking about? And remember, Jesus says, little children, I am with you a little longer. You will seek me, but as I've said to the Jews, I'll say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. And so the question is, why? Because we still got work to do. We still have work to do. Providence Church, God has sent me here because we've got work to do. And I'm going to rub elbows with some of you, and I'm going to ask you to roll up your sleeves because we've got work to do. Are you with me? There's a hurting world out there that needs the love that this church can offer. They need a place to come in and to be healed, to be heard. They need to hear the word of God because the word of God is healing. You ever read something and today it means something, and then you read that same passage a year later and it speaks to you in a different way? Has that ever happened to anybody? Oh, just a few of them been to Sunday school. There's only been a few of them. All right. I can remember going to visit folks in the hospital and people always talking about going to heaven. They're ready to just leave this world and go on to heaven. I don't want to go before it's my time. I'm going to tell you that already. I'm not in a rush because I've got work to do. I want to do all that God has put in my heart to do. But I remember being in the hospital and people would say that I want to just get away from all the trials and tribulations of this world. I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to get away from all the evil in this world. I want to go to heaven. I want to caution us about talk like that. You see what Jesus says to the disciples, if you've got work to do, There's more to be done. We've got to be concerned about people outside these doors. There are people who need salvation. There are people who need to hear the word of God. And we must relish in the privilege that we get to share God with others. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I've loved you." Love itself is not a new commandment. But Jesus says, "A new commandment that I give you." You see, in the Old Testament, they had that scripture that I was talking to you about, and it's in Leviticus, it's in Deuteronomy, to love the Lord our God with all thy heart and all thy soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But they began to water down this Mosaic teaching, that they would love who they wanted to love. They would do for who they wanted to do for. And Jesus is saying, this is not the way. I want you to love everybody. And anybody who crossed your path, I want them to know who I am. And so Jesus basically is saying, let's add some newness to this, some freshness to the word of God. Let it become active in you so that you might be a servant. This is how they'll know that you're my servants. If you what? Love one another. They'll know that you're my disciples. We have a great opportunity that's before us. But remember, John chapter 13 through chapter 21, Jesus used the word love 45 times. He wants us to get it. Amen. I read this story that was so cool. And it was of the Special Olympics. And so the young people in Special Olympics, it was 9 on the line, and they were waiting for the person to shoot the gun, and it was a 100-yard dash. And so they're laughing and all excited, and the person shot the gun, and they took off running. And as they're running, one little boy fell over on the asphalt, and he landed right on his face. I mean, he hurt himself. The other 8 heard it. They stopped, turned around, and all 8 went back for him. And a little girl with Down syndrome, she kissed the mark where he had had a bruise, and she said, "That's going to make it better." And they linked arms, all 9, and they walked across the finish line. The crowd began to clap, and they wouldn't stop. Something happened that day. They saw love in action, and it changed them. This community is waiting to see love in action, and it'll change them too. And guess what? We'll be better for it, won't we? We'll be better for it. That's the kind of love that God is talking about. It's in our hands. It's in our hearts. We just got to let it come out. And this community will be changed, forever changed by it. I've been so loved by this church that it overwhelmed me. I came in and there was this huge card. And I've probably received between 60 and 70 cards from all of you. And I've been blown away by the love in this place. And I thought to myself this morning, if someone in the community can just get a nibble of the love that I have already received, their lives will be changed. Providence, you possess this kind of love, the kind of love that will change the world around you. How many of you know that to be true? And the only question is, are we prepared to leave here today and tell people that God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, that he loves you, and that you're significant on his keyboard? It'll make the difference. It'll make all the difference. Would you take the hands of the person next to you? And we do this because we look great on the outside. All of you have nice clothes. You look great. But I don't know what's going on in your life. You could be hurting. You could be dealing with all sorts of family issues. And so we touch and agree. And so let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us the way that you do, that you first loved us. Even when we didn't know you, when we were lost, you loved us. And Jeremiah says, before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, you knew us, that we were on your minds. So, Lord, we love you so much. And we just thank you. Strengthen us in this moment that we might be your people, that we might be your disciples, and that we might draw others to you. Thank you for Providence United Methodist Church. Help us to be a beacon where people might see the light and walk this way. Lord, we pray for our sick and our shut-in of this church, that you might bless them right where they are. You can be omnipresent here with us at this moment and simultaneously with them. And so we ask for a mighty blessing. Lord, I thank you for the staff. I thank you for all of the leadership in this place. And I thank you for the task that's before us. And once again, Lord, I pray that everyone who's come here, Lord, that you might meet their need, even as we pray. And as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.